Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. We are continuing our series on what's keeping you from freedom, from enjoying the freedom God has for you now. We're going to try to go a little quicker and finish up this series and move on to something else. So many of the things we talk about are, again, new to people, and so we have a tendency to try to cover a lot of in-depth subjects in a short period of time. And really, if there's an area that you don't understand, I would encourage you to go back over the archives or to pick up the books or to just stay tuned, because over time we will cover the subject that you have any questions about. If not, give me a write me a letter, drop me a line, give me a call during our program. We're also going to be starting our webinars, so make sure you go to the site, wecanprepare.org, sign up there. It's an opt-in, so you're not going to get spammed, and we just send out once a week. At this point in time, it's just a once-a-week offering, short, little teaching, and an update as to the program, a reminder. What we'll be doing in the webinars is hopefully being a lot more interactive, so we'll be able to deal with specific questions in real time and have some hopefully good conversations. Because I do realize this is new, but what we're looking for is not so much that you can understand this approach to knowing God and to getting healed, being free with your head, but learning to hear God for yourself. That's always our goal, because if you are trying to base your relationship with Him on what you've been taught, your teaching, what you believe, it's going to still be, and there's going to be an interference there with yourself. As a reminder, you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Your spirit is in perfect freedom right now, and that is who you truly are. There are things that we don't know yet about our being, about how that all works together. And we don't claim that we have all the answers regarding that. So if what you're being taught somewhere else, or what you believe from whatever source, from God, from others, from your family, your history, if that is working for you, then go with it. But by working for you, I don't mean, does it give you something to occupy your time? Does it give you something to teach? Is it a revelation that you can now go out with? Does it support your ministry? Does it help others? My definition of, is it working for you, is it bringing you into freedom? Is it bringing you greater hearing of God, greater dependence? Are you overcoming your flesh, and are you receiving healing? Are you getting healed? Is your relationship with God not just one way, but are you becoming more and more whole, spirit, soul, and body? So again, it's not just knowing the right things, but what effect is it having on your life? One of the problems we have in the Christian church today, in especially the Western church, the religious church, is we are taught one thing by leaders, by books, by seminars, by webinars, and we never get a chance to see if what we're being taught works. We're supposed to take it by faith, or we are supposed to believe it because it's written in a book, whether it's a modern book or the Bible that was written a variety of 2,000 to 4,000 years ago. And we want to instead have our truth, our reality, whispered in our ear by God himself. All religions have at least one book, if not many books. All religions have a God, have a devil, have good and evil, have a path, have things to do, things not to do. What's different about Christianity is our God is alive and well and speaks to us, changes us now. He is a personal God. And as a person, not quite like you and I, but he wants to make himself known and be known by us. We talk so often about his nature being, if you wanted to sum up his nature is love, which is to give unconditionally, and that he created us here on this earth in the form of these little man people that we are, human people, having a soul and a body to be able to receive everything he wants to give. And that's why our definition of grace is receiving unconditionally what God gives unconditionally and just saying thanks. There are no strings to what God gives us. There's only response. Now, God has given you, if you have received from him, he gave you a new spirit. He re-inspirited you. He inspired you. You are a new creature, a new being. How then do you respond to that gift? And I don't mean trying to live up to it, or now we work it out. Now that we have become a son of God, now we have to live up to that. That's not what I'm talking about. Instead, it's how, knowing that we are now a spirit being and a son of God and one in him, how then do we live? Do we continue doing things our way, or do we recognize that our body and our soul need to come into alignment with our spirit? And that is now our task. And we talk about our being prepared to rule and reign. We rule, as a spirit being, we rule over ourselves, our soul and our body. As a son of God, we reign over our environment outwardly, over our circumstances and whatever situation God has put you in. And he is training us to do that. So it's both a ruling and a reigning. And throughout that process, we are being freed and healed and enlightened. We learn. We change our beliefs. We change our mind. We understand how God made us. We are grateful for that. But we do not let it either be our strength or our hindrance, our weakness. So we've talked about, is there a case where there can be someone so in bondage that they cannot be freed? And of course the answer is no. What the real question comes down to is, if you believe that you are in such great bondage that you can't be free. We're not going to talk about other people's experiences. We're going to talk about you and me, because that's what's important. And we talked last week about, if you have that question, that is there a possibility that you are so far gone in so much bondage that you can't be free? I would just say the answer is no. Because if you are aware that you are in bondage, God has already placed that awareness in you and has your answer waiting for you. You are already on the way to freedom. One of the things he likes to do is surprise us with freedom. We think we're never going to get out of jail until the guard with the keys comes down, opens up the door, and sets us free. So you don't know what God is doing upstairs, out of your sight. You don't know what he's working on inside of you. But rest assured, he wants you free now. Then we get into our enemies and how much interference our enemies throw in our way. Who are our enemies? The world, the flesh, your flesh, and the devil. Now Jesus, when he was here, he conquered the world and the devil. And he's left our own flesh as an enemy that we need to learn how to overcome. He did not develop flesh, because he was always living in dependence on the Father. So that's something you and I have to overcome by depending, by cooperating with God. We can't do it ourselves, but as a spirit being, it is removed. It's the flesh is enlivened, given opportunity in our lives where we don't live as a spirit being. So the more we live as a spirit being in oneness with God and dependence and acceptance, and seeing things from his perspective, just being changed by him, in those areas and in those ways, we don't live according to our flesh. So we can see how critical it is that we understand who our enemies are. Because if we don't, we will be fighting an enemy that we think we are responsible for overcoming, and often ignoring enemies that we are responsible for overcoming. You are responsible for overcoming those enemies that are already under your feet. And that's the world system and the devil. And we could say the world system is best described by time, peer pressure, expectations, your own history, those things that are part of the demands on your time, distractions. Anything going on in the world that is keeping you from depending on God. And peer pressure and time pressure, stress, financial pressure, those are all aspects of the world system, and your enemies from the world system are going to be different than mine. And that's the way it's going to be throughout dealing with our enemies. Your flesh is going to be different than mine. Your enemies, your the way the issues you have to deal with in overcoming the demonic are going to be different than mine. What we're looking at are what patterns do we see in depending on God that we can all learn to apply for ourselves. And I love that the illustrations we have of Jesus was the pattern that he followed was simply doing what God, his Father, told him to do and being what his Father told him to be. And in that, he didn't set a pattern. We can't say, okay, when someone has leprosy, this is how to pray. Or if, when someone has demonic interference, this is how to pray. He handles things differently, and that's the pattern that you have to go to the Father to find out. You have to go to the Father to be taught. And you're free to make mistakes on the way there. Just as we think God, you know, Jesus never made a mistake. Well, yes, he did. And it says so right in the scriptures that he learned obedience through the things he suffered. He learned. You don't learn if you're doing everything right. That's not, you learn by trial and error. So let yourself off the hook. It is not a sign of spirituality that you never make a mistake. It's a sign of you're not trying anything. You're not doing anything. You're in the cemetery. So you're going to make mistakes, and God knows that, and he's made the way for you. So if you think that maybe you're so far gone or you're just going to have to survive this life until you die, and then God will set you free. Remember, death is your enemy. It's not your friend. Your physical death, removal from this earth, means time's up for your assignment, for what you were supposed to learn here, what you were supposed to accomplish. What you were supposed to gain in oneness within yourself, spirit, soul, and body. When we don't understand that, when we think we're just, you know, that it's all about what we're going to, how we're going to live, where we're going to exist in the hereafter, in eternal life. Eternal life and heaven are two totally different things. Eternal life is to know Christ. If you know him, you right now, today, have received all the eternal life you are ever going to get. You do not go into eternity. Eternity is a character, an aspect of the nature of God, the spirit nature. And if you have been re-inspirited, you too have that characteristic. You have eternal life. You are one with Christ and know him again in your spirit. And this whole idea of you die and go to heaven, there's so much that we bring to the table that we want to believe, that there we have, in a sense, made it up to give us something to hope for, rather than taking those hard looks at ourselves and saying, what is really going on? It takes work to overcome your enemies now. And when someone or something, a belief or a system or a person comes along and says, you don't need to do that work now, All you need to do is hang on until you die or until some event happens where you are changed. In other words, you just get to sit around in your immaturity, like a little puppy waiting for master to come along and let it in the house. You're not a little puppy. You are a son of God. And there are things you are to accomplish in your life here during this time. And when you realize you are burdened, wounded, bound, this is an opportunity for you to learn from God how to be healed, how to be set free, and then how to live like that. Now, when it comes to the demonic influences in our lives, and we have a real hard time thinking, saying that, we have, so many of us have this big, huge delusion about what the demonics are, what Satan, what demon involvement, that if you have any kind of attack, that it's scary, that it means there's something wrong with you, or that somebody's attacking you. Just very often fear and panic and, you know, a sense of reason can leave us so often because we don't know what's going on and we don't know how to react. In the Bible, Paul says we are not ignorant of his devices. And yet, we can't say that. We are ignorant. We don't know how he operates, how his little cronies operate. And so he succeeds. He's a terrorist. He doesn't really have to accomplish anything in our lives. All he has to do is implant that fear that if we try this, if we do that, if we make ourselves, if we step out in any area, in an area God's leading us, just by the virtue of his being there, we are making ourselves vulnerable. Either we will be hurt or someone we love or something. And probably one of our biggest fears is we won't know what to do about it. Well, God wants you to know what to do about it. It's not just about stepping out in faith or trusting God that he'll give you what you need when you need it. It's about taking it seriously, that this is something you already know how to do in the spirit. There's work involved. You do the work. You do the homework. You take the tests, and you move on. But a lot of this is a change in mindset. So let's look at a way to parallel this, parallel our attitude towards the demonic. And you'll notice we hopefully will avoid calling them spirits because they're not. They're not spiritual. They're supernatural beings. Just like angels are supernatural, they are not spirit. There's only two kinds of spirit being from our point of view, and that's God and us. Angels and demons and anything else that may or may not be out there are all below. They were all created beings. They are supernatural. They dwell above the natural realm. They have authority above the natural realm, but below the spiritual realm. So they're not spirits. They're supernatural beings. Now, because you are a spirit being, you automatically have authority over them in the spirit realm. But you also need to learn to exercise authority over them in your supernatural realm, which is your soulical realm, your spirit, your mind, will, and emotions. And then finally, in the natural. So just to get a better handle on this, what is a good parallel that we can understand from the natural realm? And this will give us a good handle on how it's going to affect us the rest of our lives and how we can sort of just get used to it. It's not a big deal, recognizing that there are supernatural beings all around you right now, both the good and the bad. Now, good and bad is from our perspective, because both the angels that are around us and the demonics that are around us are both there for the same reason, for our training. We are to learn how to reign over all outward situations, and that includes the involvement of angels and demons. We are to learn to rule over them, to reign over them. So, let's look at that natural illustration. And we can draw parallels between the demonics, between supernatural beings, and microbiological entities or germs. I'd wager most of us have a pretty good understanding of how we are affected by germs, especially during the winter season when we have flu warnings going up all the time and we're inside more, so we're in more confined spaces, and we know, you know, little kids get flus and colds, and people are more likely to get sick during the winter because they stay inside and have a more concentrated germ activity. And then once it starts, it cascades and goes through the whole family or through the school and on and on. But do you have an abnormal reaction to that? You may take more precautions, but you understand what germs are. And the more each of us takes responsibility for preventing our own infestation of germs, the less likely we are for it to affect our lives. When we look at those who get sick every year, odds are there's something they're doing compared to a family that never gets sick. But just think about it. If you were outside digging in the garden, or your kids just came home from playing in the park or riding their bike, or say one of your kids or even you out on your mountain bike skinned up your knee, what do you do? You clean it out. And it may sting a little bit, but you know that if you don't, it could get infected and end up being a lot worse. Well, what is that infection? It's germs. And germs are microbiological entities. They are living beings, those little germs. They're alive. So what we are talking about in the natural is learning to deal with, and we've learned to a degree in the natural, dealing with preventing an infection from microbiological entities. And we've incorporated that in our lives. We realize that over time, we brush our teeth to prevent their infestation. We wash on a regular basis. We clean our homes. We avoid certain things and do certain things to manage microbiological entities. And it's no big deal. Now, some of them are much more powerful than others. So greater prevention may be necessary. but we simply deal with it. We address those concerns, and we understand what the costs are and the risks are, and we make decisions. And this is where we'll pick it up next Saturday, same time. We'll be getting into drawing more of those parallels between germs and demons. That in many, many, many respects, we treat them the same way, recognizing that we will be dealing with them both for the whole time we are here on this earth. So thanks for tuning in. You can always drop me a line at diane@weCanPrepare.org. Until then, till next Saturday, have a great weekend. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Thanks for tuning in.